morning, everyone. Good to be in front of you. Well, no, it's not. I'd rather be out there and have somebody, but it is good to stand and present what the Lord has given me today. I'm going to start with a scripture that I dare say every minister that's preached over four or five times in their life has used, and most of the time, many, many times. Show of hands. First two verses, 12th chapter of Romans. I'm going to make it easy. How many of you that are in the ministry have never used this scripture before? You haven't ever used it.
Oh, haven't. I thought you said haven't.
No, okay. I was going to say, I need to talk to you after the service. And it's one that's very familiar. I'm going to emphasize on a little different part of that particular scripture as I read it. And it deals with a reasonable service, and I'm going to touch a little bit on that, but that's not what I'm going to emphasize. But I'll read it for you, then hopefully be able to communicate what was placed on my heart. And I'm going to read it now, and those of you who have your scriptures, follow along, because sometimes I don't read that well. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And he's talking... What I want to get to, we usually talk about our reasonable service and why it's reasonable, you know? And I'll touch a little bit on that, but that's not what I want to emphasize. It's reasonable because what he has offered to us and what he's made available and what we've received, already received in his goodness. And we know that he offers us eternal life. And I want to turn to the Book of Mormon for that particular scripture. And it's in Mosiah, first chapter. King Benjamin speaking. You all are familiar with all the scriptures that I'm going to present today. Starting with the 52nd verse, and I say unto you, my brethren, that if you should render all thanks and praise which your whole soul has power to possess to that God who hath created you and have kept and preserved you and caused that you should rejoice and has granted that you should live in peace one with another, I say unto you that if you should serve him who hath created you from the beginning and art preserving you from day to day by lending you breath. And we know what King Benjamin is leading up to. We know that he is telling them why this is your reasonable service. Okay, this is why it's reasonable. That you may live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another. And I say that if you should serve him with all your whole souls, yet you would be unprofitable servants. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments, and he has promised you that if you would keep his commandments, you would prosper in the land. And he never doth vary from what which he has said. Therefore, if you do keep his commandments, he doth bless you and prosper you. And now, in the first place, he has created you and granted unto you your lives. for which ye are indebted. And secondly, he doth require that ye should do as he has commanded, and if ye do, he doth immediately bless you, and therefore he has paid you. And yes, there's more to that. There's more than just that. He does have an offering of eternal life. Besides all these other gifts, he offers to each one of us life eternal with him. But what does that look like? Okay? I mean, I according to the scriptures, it's almost indescribable, life eternal with our Heavenly Father, with Jesus Christ. But I think he's given us glimpses. I think he's given us glimpses as we live here in this life, with each other, with our spouses, with our kids, with our grandkids, of what heaven is going to be like. What heaven and endless, now I'm going to give away what my sermon is, I better keep my mouth shut, instead of getting ahead of myself, I'm going to turn to Alma, the 19th chapter. And this is also familiar, starting with the 65th verse. This is a father talking to a son who's a little bit rebellious. He's got, he's got two sons that are pretty straight shooters. He's got one that I think is a straight shooter, but he has some questions. And so he's talking to him frankly. And I hope to get in, after I read this, into what I'm going to preach about this morning. I'm going to start with the 65th verse. It's on page 450, if you want to follow along. Behold, it is requisite and just, according to the power and resurrection of Christ, that the soul of man should be restored to its body, and every part of the body should be restored to itself. It is requisite with the justice of God that men should be judged according to their works, and if their works were good in this life and the desires of their hearts were good, that they should also at the last day be restored unto that which is good. He's doing this for his son. His son has questioned the justice of God. Okay? He's questioning why everybody can't be saved. That's the problem that this young man is having. His father is trying to answer this question for him, and doing so starting out this way because of the justice of God. There has to be a justice, and it is requisite. So the good are going to be saved. And if their works are evil, 67, they shall be restored unto him for evil. Therefore, all things shall be restored to their proper order, everything to its natural frame, mortality raised to immortality, corruption to incorruption, raised to endless happiness, to inherit the kingdom of God, or to endless misery, to inherit the kingdom of the devil. Two choices. The one on one hand and the other to the other. The one raised to happiness according to desires of happiness or good, according to his desires of good, and the other to evil according to desires of evil. For as he has desired to do evil all the day long, even so shall he have his reward of evil when the night cometh. So he's explaining this to his son, and he goes on, and he, as a father, and And he says in 71, the decrees of God are unalterable. Therefore, the way is prepared that whosoever will may walk therein and be saved. There is a way for you and I. And what I want to get at this morning is we don't have to wait to see what this is like. He has given us glimpses of heaven as you and I live now. He lets us know what heaven will be like, not to the umpth degree of what it'll be like, but he gives you and I glimpses of this endless happiness. And that's what he's offered. It's available to you and I in Jesus Christ. But it requires something of you, as mentioned in that Romans, the 12th chapter. It requires a renewing of your mind. You have to change. You and I have to change the way we think. We think as a man. We think naturally as a man. And you think, okay, how do I do that? I mean, how do I change my way of thinking? How do I change from what I know and I feel and I see and I touch and I taste to something that is spiritual? Because that's what the renewing of your mind requires. And he does show us a way. And he gives us examples. He gives us a means to do it. He's not saying, okay, Steve, this is what I want. Go out, find your way, and do it. Doesn't leave any of us. Doesn't leave Pat out there saying, okay, here I go. You know, here I go. I want to change my mind. How do I do it? The way you think. A way and a means to fulfill what he gave us in that Sermon on the Mount. You know, as we read that, and I think I'll read a portion of that. As we read in that fourth chapter of Matthew, and you read some of the things that he wants of us, and it doesn't fit. Some of them do not fit with me now. Some of them do not. Now, I'm gonna read it. Fourth chapter of Matthew. No, fifth chapter. I'm sorry. And he says, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What's he saying right there? He's saying, your spirit's not going to make it. You have to turn your lives over to something else. Otherwise, yours is not the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Pretty easy. I think most of us have always been able to do that. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Wait a minute. That really goes against what some, I'm not saying all, but I would say a majority, especially the male figures in our lives. This is something that doesn't come that, well, some females too. Mike kind of raised his eyebrows at me and when I said mainly males, but it's females too. It does not come naturally to us. But he says, blessed are you. blessed. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What does that look like? What is it to hunger and thirst after righteousness? Yeah, I read my scriptures. Yeah, I pray. But why do you do it? That's the difference. Why are you coming to church? Why are you reading your scriptures? Why are you praying? Yeah, it's a commandment. Isn't it a commandment? But to fulfill the commandments, does that mean you're really hungering and thirsting? No. You do it because you want to know the truth. You want to know about your Savior, Jesus Christ. You want to know how to know Him more intimately in your life. You want to know Him as Abraham knew Him. He wants us to hungering and thirsting, that desire to come closer. That's why we read the scriptures. That's why we pray. That's why we come to church. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You say, oh, I'm pretty merciful. Really? You know, I look at my thoughts. It has everything to do with your thoughts. And when you look at someone out in the world, and you don't know their circumstances, I don't know where they came from, what they've been through, but you know something? I make judgments. I make quick judgments. Lord, I hope he doesn't make a quick judgment on what he sees in me. That's what mercy is. To not think the worst. To not think the worst about a person, but show them mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I think there's also in the scriptures where those are the ones that will be in Zion. Am I correct? Is the pure in heart. My brother Sheldon used that a lot. I guess he was your brother Sheldon too. He was all of our brother Sheldon. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I don't cause fights. I try not to cause fights. I try not to argue with people. I try not to cause trouble. Is that all he's talking about here? Is it your relationship with someone else he's talking about? Yes, that, but it's more. He says peacemakers. Do those things. Present your that make for peace between your brothers and sisters or whoever. Live your life as an example of what it is to be a peacemaker. That is what he is saying. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. This is what he wants of you and I. How many of you can say you fulfill all of those in your life and your hearts and your minds? No, I don't see a hand. I do not see a hand. But I'm telling you, he gives us a way and means that you can. That you will. That you'll want to. And you'll desire to do that. Those are spiritual things. What are the things, what are the spiritual things that we should seek? What are they? What's the most important thing? What's the most important spiritual thing that you should desire? There you go. Thank you, Michelle. Has to do with something that is very aptly described in the 7th chapter of Moroni. We read it all the time, rightfully so. If I can turn to it. And I'm only going to read 52 and 53. And it says, wherefore cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ. It is love. It is love. And it endureth forever, and whosoever is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with him. And you can look at that the very opposite way. If you don't possess that, is it going to be well with you at the last day? No. The decrees of God are unalterable. It's the only thing, it's the only thing that you're really going to be judged on is if you possess it. And if that love motivated you to do things, and it would, and it will, motivate you to do things in this life, not because you're commanded to do them, but because you want to do them because of the love that you have. That's the thing that will last. That's what you will be judged on. That's what the Lord looks for at the last day when he comes again, when you stand before your Maker. That's what he's going to look for in you. 53. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. Do you have that? Do you really have that desire? How many times have you honestly prayed that? And why have you prayed it? Maybe that's more important than if you have. Why have you prayed that? You may not be filled. And I'm telling you right now, it's not required that you be filled. But it is required that you desire to be filled with it. God knows what I'm capable of receiving, whether I'm capable of receiving and being filled with the love of God like the three disciples were, the nine weren't. They had love in their hearts, but they weren't filled like the three. Now, you can tell me I'm wrong after the service. Don't do it now. But you can tell me I'm wrong, but I don't believe I'm wrong. I think we had three that were filled. I think we had 12 that desired it, but weren't capable of it. But they had the love of God. And what's it say? It will be well with them. And it was well with them. And it was well with the other three, too. I'm getting kind of off my sermon. Which I didn't want it to do, but he's bestowed that same thing upon you and I. He's given us a portion of something. He's bestowed it to you and I so we can, it says, that we can be his sons and daughters. It says so right here in the scriptures. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. If you don't possess that in your life, you're not going to be like him. What is God? God is love. Says so in John. Says so throughout the scriptures. We cannot please him if we don't have that same desire that he has to be filled with that. Even before you were a believer, even before you recognized Jesus Christ, even before you knew anything about the scriptures or the plan of salvation, he started giving you glimpses of what it was to be happy. He did. He does. He continues to do that. I had parents that were easy to love. I loved them before I knew anything about God or the scriptures or the Church of Christ. I loved them. They loved me. As a parent, as a grandparent, as a brother, as a sister, a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, there's this love. And he gives it to us to show us a glimpse of what it is to be spiritual, to walk in a spiritual way in our lives. That is happiness. All the things that the world can provide you is to fulfill the flesh is kind of a lust, you know? Man, I like good food. I really like good food, and I like to drive a nice car and comfortable. But, you know, that's just fulfilling something that is flesh. But the love is indescribable. I remember, and I could go any part of my life, but I remember when my first two grandchildren were born. And I remember thinking, how could it get any better than this? You know, little 6-pound and little 4-pound baby girls, you know? And I thought, I am there. I remember thinking that. I said, but then, you know, then I had another one. It was a little boy. And then I had two more. And then I had two more. Did that love and that fulfillment lessen any for the first two? No, it did not. It did not. All that happened in my life and in your life is that love expanded and it grew and it became more and more and more. Is that an example to you in your life? Are you satisfied with the love that you have now for your brothers and sisters? You don't want it to grow any more than that? You don't want to have any more happiness and fulfillment in your life than that? I do. And he showed me that, you know, I think he gives us a commandment to where love all our brothers and sisters. Is that for him or is that for us? That's for us. That is for you and I. And he gives us the means by which we can do it. He started at the very beginning to show you an example of what love is. Because, I'm sorry, that is not a natural thing. It is a spiritual thing. And those spiritual things come from God. And he started that from the beginning. And then he gives you a gift, a marvelous gift. When you've been baptized and you have hands laid upon your head and you have him, him dwelling inside you, and you listen to him, you become spiritual. And that love will grow. It will not allow you to be satisfied with where you are in this world. Just loving those that you know. If you allow that Spirit, that Holy Ghost to work, Jesus Christ that resides in you to work in your life, this will happen. And not only that, but what I read in the 5th chapter of Matthew will be a natural thing. It will come naturally to you. I'm going to turn to 1 John, 4th chapter. Starting with the 3rd verse. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof we have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children. I say this to you. He's saying this to you. This is a letter to the church, to the general church. It's not to the Romans, not to the official. This is to the general church, those who have made that decision in their lives to follow after Christ. We are of God, pardon me. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not heareth of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Just like our brother was saying to his son, this way or this way. You're either going to be spiritual and accept the decrees of God and allow that spirit to work in you, or you're not. Or you're not. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love also to love one another. Ought to do it. Not all of you guys, but all of those guys. All of those guys too. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Oh my goodness. And his love is perfected in us. You have a commandment to be perfect. This is the way. He gives you the means to be perfected in him. How does he do that? Because you have him within you. You don't do it. He does it. If you allow what he's given you and placed within you to work, you make the choice. You make the choice. I'm not going to If I allow it really to work within me, I'm not going to make the choice to judge that person that I don't really know. I am going to be able to have mercy in my life. I'm going to be able to be meek when I hear someone say something that would instantly offend me. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen with him. It's not going to happen if you allow that gift that he's given you to work in your lives. You've seen me get angry. You've seen me get disappointed, and unfortunately, I let it show too easy. But it wasn't of God. When that happens, you can say, whoa, Steve, that spirit at this time is not working in you. You are not merciful. You are not forgiving. Oh, 13. I wanted to read 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. That works in our lives. That's what we have to allow. That's what we don't have to. That's what we need to allow to work in my life. Everyone out here that's been baptized has received that. Everyone that hasn't been baptized, everyone here has received that spirit of love even before they were baptized. He's given you a glimpse of what happiness is. He's given you a glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. And do you think that when you go up to heaven and you're standing before him, after you enter into heaven and you see all these resurrected bodies up there, and they're standing in the presence of Jesus Christ, are you going to look around and you're going to say, whoa, look at that guy? That's not going to be in your mind. You are going to have that which causes you to rejoice and be happy. You're going to love them all. Everyone up there, you're going to love, just like you love your brothers and sisters here. He says, listen to me, follow me, follow that which I've given you inside, and you can have that here. And you can be perfected. You can cause my love to be perfected. Could you please Jesus Christ any more than that? Can you imagine Christ being any more happy than looking in you and saying, oh my gosh, that love that I gave is perfected? No. It's the parable of the talents. All the 25th chapter is fulfilled right there. He's talking about it here, is allowing that to work, that gift to work within your life, that talent, that gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying everything else we preach from this pulpit is unimportant, but this is the most important. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the truth. This is the truth. I want to close. With the scripture that I use more than anybody else in the church. Absolutely, I use it more than anybody else. Well, I shouldn't say that. You know, I do. I use this scripture. I'm going to turn to the second chapter of, Second Peter, the first chapter, 2-4. I read this even more than I read the fourth chapter of Philippians. Again, Peter speaking to the church, speaking to you and to I, telling us what is important, absolutely, telling us about the gift that he's given us, that we can be perfected in Jesus Christ through that Spirit. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power have given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things that pertain to that fifth chapter of Matthew, to be meek, to be lowly, to be merciful. He's given all the things to us to achieve that. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, given you that gift, that what? That through that gift? Through that gift, you might what? You might be a partaker of the divine nature. You might be able to love like Jesus Christ. You will be able to love like Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is within you. You have a way to gauge. You know whether that is that spirit that is leading you in your actions, or it's a different spirit. If you have wrath, if you have hate, if you have confusion, if you're not meek, if you're not lowly of heart, that spirit, you're not listening to the spirit. I know that that spirit will lead you where he wants you to go. And you do too. So we can gauge it. That you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Everything else will lead you to lust. What is lust? It's the desires of the flesh. If your mind is set on the desires of the flesh, whatever that might be, and it overcomes that which is spiritual, you're not listening to what he's already given you. It says so, that he's given you all things that pertain to life and to godliness. I've received them. All these brothers and sisters over here, you've received them. All you got to do, it's not rocket science, you know? It's really not rocket science. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ is so plain, even I can understand it. And I'm no rocket science. And from the simplest of us, we can understand it. Why? Because we'll feel it. In Jeremiah, in that, is it the 31st, it talks about we won't have to go and teach every man about Jesus Christ because they're going to know him. But why? Because he resides within us. It will no longer be a teaching thing. You know Jesus Christ. I can stand up here and remind you. All I can do is remind you of what you've already been given and where it'll lead you. That's all I can do. That's what I hope to do, that had hoped to do today. I hope that I accomplished it. I hope that you'll think about what I've presented this morning and let that Holy Ghost, that gift, guide you in your life.